Four Sisters, The Lost Lives of the Romanov Grand Duchesses, written by Helen Rappaport, read by Karen Cass. Author's note. Readers familiar with Russian history will know that any author taking on the pre-revolutionary period has to deal with the frustrations of two dating systems. The Julian calendar, in use in Russia until February 1918, and the Gregorian calendar, then in use in most of the rest of the world, and which was adopted in Russia on the 14th of February 1918. For the sake of clarity, all dates relating to events taking place in Russia prior to this date are given in the Julian, old-style form, which was 13 days behind the Gregorian system. All events taking place in Europe during that period and reported in the foreign press or letters written outside Russia are given in the Gregorian new style. In cases where confusion might occur, both dates are given, or qualified as OS or NS. The transliteration of Russian words and proper names is a minefield of confusion, disagreement, and perceived error, depending on which transliteration system one favours. No single system has been set in stone as the correct one, although authors are regularly belaboured for getting their transliteration supposedly wrong. Some systems are decidedly unattractive to the non-Russian-speaking lay reader. Many are unnecessarily pedantic. For this reason, I have made the decision to drop the use of the Russian soft and hard signs, represented by the apostrophe, which, in the main, serve only to confuse and are a distraction to the eye. I have in the end gone with my own slightly modified version of the Oxford Slavonic Papers transliteration system, opting, for example, to represent the name Alexander, A-L-E-K-S-A-N-D-R, as Alexander, A-L-E-X-A-N-D-E-R, in hopes of sparing the reader. I have also avoided using patronymics unless needed to differentiate one person of the same name from another. When I first began writing Four Sisters, I had to make a very clear decision about where my story was going to end, having already written about the Romanovs in my 2008 book, Yekaterinburg, The Last Days of the Romanovs. In that book, I undertook a close-up examination of the last 14 days in the lives of the family at the Ipatiev house in Yekaterinburg and charted in forensic detail the horrific circumstances of their murder and the disposal of their bodies. I shall not repeat that part of the story here. Judging when and where exactly to end my narrative has therefore been difficult, and I take full responsibility for the decision I have made about when to stop. I hope that readers will find that the epilogue ties up the most important loose ends. Finally, and most importantly, it is not my intention in the narrative that follows to give space to any of the numerous false claimants, a trail of whom, since Berlin in 1920, have variously attempted to persuade the world that they are one or other of the Four Sisters, somehow miraculously escaped from the bloodbath at the Ipatiev house. This book is not for anyone wanting to read more about the much mythologized Anna Anderson, a.k.a. Franziska Jankowska, nor does it give the oxygen of publicity to the conspiracy theorists who continue to claim Anastasia's survival, or that of any of her sisters, in the face of extensive and rigorous scientific analysis and DNA testing undertaken since the most recent discoveries in the Koptiaki forest in 2007. This is a book about the real Romanov sisters. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Prologue. The room of the first and last door. The day they sent the Romanovs away, the Alexander Palace became forlorn and forgotten, a palace of ghosts. The family had spent the previous 3 days frantically packing for their departure, having been informed at short notice by Kerensky's provisional government of their imminent removal. But when it came to the final moments, although the children took their three dogs with them, the cats, Zubovka, the stray